You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
Well, if you can tell, I've got a little stuff going on in here. Doctor said it was highly contagious. Pardon me. So it's not. It's not contagious. So you guys are good on the front row. Except you, Wolfgang, I might breathe over you. Do you guys know what day it is?
1 second.
And what happens in a couple of days? Hi, 4th of July, that's right. It has been said that on July the 4th, 1776, that the United States, well, America at that point, wasn't the United States yet, but that we had six world-class leaders in our nation. And we had about 3 million people. I wonder if we have six world-class leaders today in America with 280 million. Tell me who those six were. Jefferson.
John Adams. Madison.
Maybe there were 10 or 12 world-class leaders. And Walt Disney was not one of them. I heard that somewhere. You know, my favorite is George Washington. He was the father of our country. We didn't start our nation in 1776. That was our Independence Day when we said we are going to start moving toward the country. But it was much later, several years later. I think the biggest day in our nation was about 15 years later. And that was President Washington had served his first term and he served his second term. So he had been in the White House 8 years, and many had thought that Washington, who was a military man, had the military behind him, that he would, in the European tradition, set himself up as a king. Even though the government had said, we're going to have all these different branches of government and so forth, a lot of people considered that Washington would just go ahead and set up a monarchy. And so he came into Philadelphia and he came before the Congress, and people thought for sure that this was the day that he would establish the House of Washington as a monarchy in America. And he took that sword out, his military weapon, the source of his authority, and he strode up to the front of that House of Congress and laid that sword down. And said, this shall be run by the people, of the people, for the people, just like President Lincoln would say about 100 and some odd years later, 80 years later. Isn't that amazing? Someone that had the power and the people behind him, but someone that knew that the people need to be involved in this. Man, what a great leader, huh? George Washington. I'm going to talk about a good leader in the Bible. Guys, turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 16 to 22 today. We're going to talk about the father of Israel. Who is that? How many of you guys remember the old song when you were a kid? Father Abraham had many sons. And many sons had Father Abraham. And I am one. And so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, Father Abraham. Guys, remember that? You get everything going. Father Abraham. We're going to learn about him today. Chapter 4 of Romans and verses 16 through 22. Man, this is a classic sermon for you guys. 3 points I've already taken the pain of alliterating them for you, so you can write them out on your hand and remember what they are tomorrow. That was a funny joke, guys, and no one's laughing. I can be here all day if you guys don't play right, okay? And by the way, I see everyone all dressed up. Who has the best spirit costume today? Not you. No, you do not.
Cindy Ritter.
Look at you. Come on, stand up. Let's see you. Wow, good job. I see a tie. I see a shirt. Becca said I had to wear something red, white, and blue, and so I know that you guys have seen this one before. I am not wearing socks today because of the many comments I got last time I wore socks. Old man comments, I have to add. Anyway, it's so good to be with you guys. Let's read Romans chapter 4, verses 16 through 22. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all of his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made him father of many nations. In the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed, Abraham believed, that he should become the father of many nations. As he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, seeing as he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. Lots of cool things happened last week. Now, a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, when we had the VBS. Had a lot of kids saved. We're going to have a baptism today. A lot of neat things happening in the church. There's also been some attacks. I think I mentioned this last week. Just little things here and there. Just little Satan popping up here and there. And most of it has to do with some contentions. Some of it has to do with some faith issues. We've actually talked to quite a few people about faith. So today I want to talk about faith. I want to tie it into July the 4th and our father Abraham. But this is about, what is your faith all about? What is your trust in God all about? You know, sometimes it's pretty easy if things are good. Sometimes we let go of faith in God. We think that we're doing pretty good. We think that we have a handle on things. It's when we undergo deep, terrible circumstances that challenge our faith, our trust. And I do want to talk about the trust that we need to have in God. Not just a knowledge of it from the head. I think we would all say, yep, God can do anything he wants. But the trust of the heart, we believe that he will do what he wants. Amen? Come on, stay with me. Amen?
Amen.
Now there's food coming.
Amen?
I didn't even have to look to know who that was. I could hear that voice. So I want you guys to follow with me just two or three points. And this is one of those. If you guys, I usually give credit for the sermons that I've heard before that I re-preach. And I want to give credit of this one to my father. Dad passed about 5 years ago, a couple months ago. And I've heard this sermon 3 or 4 times in my lifetime. It's not going to be as powerful as my dad. He was a great pulpiteer. You know, he had the presence in the room and all that. But this thing has made so much impact in my life because our faith has to follow like Abraham's. It has to follow 3 different things. And again, they're alliterated. You guys ready for it? One, it's got to be centered in a person. Centered in a person. Two, it always contradicts the problem. Faith always contradicts the problem. And then three, it always claims the promise. Man, that sounded like a TV preacher just there, didn't it? Amen. Let's pass the plate one more time. See how much you guys do trust God. For you that are visiting, I like to have a good time up here, and I'm making a joke, okay? Faith is centered in a person. Look back at verse 17. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed. In the presence of the God in whom he believed. He who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Abraham had a relationship with God the Father. Unlike a lot of relationships we have. Sometimes our relationships, and this is on us, are miles away from God. We picture God in all sorts of different ways. Maybe he's that big sugar daddy up there that we like to ask for things, and maybe he's the one that kind of likes to put us under his thumb. I remember having a conversation with an atheist one time on an airplane, and as we started to talk, I said, tell me about your spiritual journey. He said, well, I don't have much of one. I don't believe that there's a God. And I said, tell me about this God that you don't believe in. Because I probably don't believe in him either. And his idea was, you're telling me that there's a big God up there that likes to put people down, and his way is the only way, and this and that. And I said, yeah, I don't have that picture of God either. I don't believe in that guy either. My God, oh. He's different. He talks to me. He walks with me. We're one and one. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
When Abraham says, I have trust, I have faith in a person, in him. It's not some ethereal thing up there that he's hoping it works out. Remember, it was God that told Abraham, get up and go. Where? To a place I'll show you. Trust me. Take the first step. Start moving in that direction. Y'all with me? He had that kind of a relationship. Matthew 17 says, because of the littleness of your faith. Oh, disciples, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, then you could move mountains. You guys heard that one before? Mustard seed. But here's the thing. Faith is only as valid as the object of the faith. Faith is only as valid as the object of the faith. I'm standing up here today. I'm probably not going to jump around very much. But I have faith in this stage. It's pretty good, isn't it? If this was a shantily built stage, and I had all the faith in the world in it, but it wasn't built very well. I could have all the faith in the world, but when I get up here, it's going to fall, isn't it? See, the faith, it's not about me, it's about him. Do I have faith in him? A couple of ice stories. You guys ready for ice? You may not know this, living in Tucson, but when ice reaches, when water reaches 32 degrees, it turns into
ice.
Get up. You're probably more familiar when it gets to 210, 20, whatever it is. That was a long time ago. Long time ago. It turns to steam. A couple things. I was a little guy in Bear Lake, Colorado. Grew up in Denver before we moved to Phoenix. And I still remember going out on the ice. I also remember being up in Alaska and going out on the ice. And they had these little huts on the ice. What's that movie with the guys on the ice in Minnesota?
Grumpy Old Men.
Grumpy Old Men. That's right. I'm sure that's not about any people here. But remember, they would drive out on the ice for 4 or 5 months out of the year, and they had these little shacks and all this stuff. It was like a little town out on the ice. I still remember as a little guy, probably not much bigger than Brock, going out on the ice in Bear Lake, Colorado, way up in the Rockies, scared to death. Are you kidding me? Getting out there and wondering what in the world's going to happen and so forth. Other guys were tromping around and they were loading their gear up and all this. I was shaky. Why? I didn't trust the ice. These other guys did trust the ice. They knew all about it. Now listen very carefully. When Peter got out of the boat, when all the disciples are there, and the big storms are coming and all this, and they see Jesus on the water, Peter gets out. What does he say? He does not say, "I think I can. I think I can. I think I can." He looks at Jesus and says, "I think you can. I think you can. I think you can." That ice, I didn't trust it. And I could say with all my might, "Okay, I'm going to trust you, but I'll fall through." See, the object of my faith is the most important thing. You are not the object of your faith. The circumstances, which we'll get to in a few minutes, that's not the object of your faith. The object of your faith is a holy God who loved you so much, he sent his only son to die for your sins, to create a relationship with you. Wow. That's the object of your faith. Nothing else. All right. I know that you're asking, how can I increase my faith? Those guys out on the ice, digging the hole, fishing and all this stuff, let me tell you something about them. They were not tourists. They didn't just come in off the turnip truck and get out there on the ice. They knew the ice. They felt it. They tasted it. They knew everything about it. They weren't just first timers. They had been with the ice. They knew the ice's character. They knew the sounds of the ice. You ever hear ice as it's cracking? I remember the first time in Alaska, it was 20 or 25 down, 25 degrees below zero. And thinking, what in the world? And then all of a sudden these cracks start to happen. I was freaking out. No one else was. Why? Oh, ice does that. I didn't know the ice. They did. If you want to improve your faith, spend more time with the ice. With Jesus. Right? If you're going to get out there and trust the circumstance, the situation, yourself, you're in a lot of trouble. And if you don't know the object of your faith, then when those little cracks come, when those little sounds come, when you're not sure, you're going to freak out. And by the way, everyone else around you. Faith, we got to study the object of our faith. So what are you going to do about it? If you haven't been in the Word, get in the Word. Start to lay things down at His feet and say, "I'll trust you on this. I'll trust you on this." And then move forward. Always keep your focus not on the things around you, but on the person of Jesus Christ. He is right here wanting to meet you. He's not way up there, out of touch, out of reach. He's a connecting rod. Guys, remember when we started talking about prayer and I said something about alignment? We don't just ask God for stuff. Give us this, give us that. We need whatever. We align ourselves with Him. Lord, I don't know why you sent this to me. I don't know what in the world's happening, but I do know I'm going to trust you because you allowed this to happen. Amen? So far, so good? It's centered in a person. The second thing, it contradicts the problem. I've got a cough. You want to cut me real quick?
I'll be right back.
Back. Good job. It contradicts the problem. Look at verse 19. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. God came to him and said, you're going to have a kid. You're 100 years old. You're going to have a kid. Faith contradicts every problem. He looked at the problem and he didn't become weak in faith. We have problems everywhere. What's the saying? Is that the Marine Corps, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger? Is that it? Are there any old Marines out there? Do what? Pain is weakness leaving the body. I'm thinking of that saying, what doesn't kill me makes me stronger. You guys heard that one? But that one's a good one too. Yes, you think so? You know, that's right if it's based in faith. If it's based in faith. If you go through your circumstances following God, trusting God, then yes, you do get stronger. If you somehow make it through your circumstances, laid out, desperate, don't know what in the world to do, and you keep your faith to yourself, you might make it through, but it didn't make you stronger. My dad used to tell me, make sure you learn your lesson the first time. Whatever situation you guys are going through, God's not taken by surprise. He, thousands of years ago, knew that tomorrow this is going to happen, and it's going to happen on purpose. Why does he have you going through that? To draw closer to him. Faith will always contradict the problem. Circumstances have nothing to do with our faith. If circumstances did have something to do with our faith, it's not faith. Remember the Pharisees, they come to Jesus and they would say, if you give us a sign, if you do a miracle in front of us, then we'd believe. Well, of course you'd believe. Of course. There's no faith there. How many of you think I can drink this bottle of water? There it is. Do y'all have faith in me? Of course not. You saw me do it. Faith is that unseen. It's where we trust God for what we don't know, but he knows. Faith contradicts the problem. Think of some of these guys. Are you ready for this? Noah. It had never rained before. Guys, did you know that? I've seen the movies where Noah's building the ark. It took 120 years to build that ark. And then it starts to rain and all this. It had never rained before that time. Mist came up from the earth. First time it rained was with Noah. A mist watered the earth. Gideon in Judges chapter 6. Remember the angel comes to Gideon? And he says, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon responds with, me? I'm the smallest of the smallest of the small. I'm the smallest tribe, the smallest clan, the smallest family, and I'm the smallest guy in my family. And the angel says, yes, you, mighty man of valor. He was scared to death. So let's go take on the Philistines. He gets 30,000 men around him, and he feels pretty good. Do you know why? His trust is where? And 30,000 guys all around him. And God says, start to peel those away. So he starts sending some home. Starts sending some home. And he gets down to 300. Quick question. Let's see how smart you guys are. With 30,000 men, where's his faith? In the men. With 300 men, where's his faith? With God. Get the idea that God wants you and him to connect. Guys, if you have 30,000 men around you, get to the point where you can't trust them. Well, that's a bad analogy, but get to the point where you trust God first and only. Amen? David. Samuel comes to Jesse, and he says, Jesse, one of your sons is going to be anointed the king. Who was it? The small, ruddy-faced boy who Jesse didn't even bring in to look at. Remember Samuel went through everything and said, oh, surely Eliab, this number one guy, head and shoulders above everybody. This guy looks like a king. And what did God say? You look on the outward appearance, I look on the heart. He gets through all the sons, and Samuel says, he's not here. Is there any other? And Jesse says, yeah, he's a little guy out watching the sheep. Even his own father didn't think that he was a leader. We're not going to sit down until we see this David kid. David had trust in God, not in what he could do. Fast forward a little bit, 1 Samuel, where David is fighting Goliath. What does he say? God has given me the lion and the tiger, the bear. He'll give me this Philistine too. I just messed up, didn't I? That's from what's that movie? The Wizard of Oz. Yeah, it's not the lion, tiger, bear. It's just the bear and the tiger. Bear and the lion. Bear and the lion. I'm getting all my animals mixed up. Anyway. At least I didn't say elephant and rhino on that one, did I? Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I love this. Daniel chapter 6. So the king, he puts through this decree that everyone's going to bow when they hear the music and bow down to himself. And these three guys say, no, we are not. And as the king comes and talks to them, they make this statement. Look, we are never going to bow down to you. Well, then you're going to be thrown into the lion's den and die. And they said, our God is able to save us. But even if he decides not to, we're still going to do it. We're still going to do it. I love that kind of faith. Now let me ask you about your circumstances. What is keeping you up at night and knocking you down during the day? Have you given that over to God? If you're a follower, there is one reason why you're facing whatever it is you're facing. And that is to draw you closer to God. That's it. And you can fight that. You can put your faith in yourself or other things or other people or the stock market or whatever. But there's one reason why God has you where you are. He wants you to turn to Him. Faith always contradicts the problem. It's centered in a person. It contradicts the problem. The last thing, faith always claims the promise. Look at verse 20 to 22. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith, and he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was called, counted to him as righteous. Abraham was fully convinced that God would deliver what he had promised. Three men go to see Abraham in chapter 18 in Genesis. They say, about a year from now, when we come back, you're going to have a baby boy. Now, as they're telling Abraham this, Sarah's in the tent getting things ready. And what does she do? She laughs. Surely not me. And then she says something crazy. She says, me, I'm an old woman, and my man is an old man. I heard someone laughing over here. Who feels like an old woman and an old man today? Don't raise your hands. Yeah. You know, Isaac means laughter. That's his name, laughter. Here's the interesting thing. Help me figure this one out. Sarah's not on board. I would think that with the baby in a year, having the mother on board would be a pretty big part of this arrangement here. But Abraham didn't waver. A year from now, we're going to have this kid. Huh. There's an old saying, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Have you ever heard that one? 2/3 of it true. God said it, that's it. God said it, that's it. Doesn't matter if I believe it or not. What God wants to do, He's going to do. If He has a job that He's called you to do, you decide not to do it, that job is still going to get done. Let's take this to a corporate body now. We're going through this vision clinic. We're looking at our neighborhood. We're trying to see what kind of a leader we need in our future here at Sabino Road. Does everyone believe that God has good things in store for our neighborhood? Yes? It is in our hands to trust God, not ourselves. It is in our hands to trust God for this neighborhood. If we decide not to trust Him, He is still going to work His work in this neighborhood. It won't be through us. Is there anyone here that doesn't doubt that? If God has plans for our neighborhood, they're going to get done. It is up to us to say, we trust you. And if we don't, He's still going to get His work done. It's going to be somebody else. Why don't we trust Him? Let's go ahead and claim that whatever God wants to do, we'll say, yes, Lord. Not based on what we think, not based on what we would do, but on what God would do. Faith believes that God can do what He said He would do, that He will do what He said He'll do, and that He has done what He said He'll do. My assistant Deidre this week had her baby. Hallelujah. She was about a week low, not late, she was just getting tired. She finally had that baby. Tell me about Sarah's journey. As these men leave in Genesis, and they say, you're going to have a baby here in a year. And she says, no way. She even laughs at it. Tell me what happens as she starts to feel that. Tell me what happens in month 3 and 4 and 5 as she starts to grow a little bit. Does she start believing? The baby's not there yet, is it? No. But she can feel it. Here it comes. Y'all with me? We are to have that same kind of expectation. Yes, there's a baby coming in 9 months. You know it. You feel it. Here it comes. She had that kind of faith now. Abraham had that kind of faith. Do you have that kind of faith? For yourselves and for Sabino Road. Faith that claims the promise that we are God's church. He has plans for our neighborhood, for us. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. All things for which you pray and ask for, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. Last story. Cut me one more time. Last story. Oh, 20 years ago, we were in a situation, and it's about Rick. I hope I don't cry. Are you going to cry, honey, if this gets bad? Okay. Don't look at my wife. She might be crying, so don't look at her. We were in a situation where, just long story short, we had sold the house early, and then things had happened, and we lost everything, and we were homeless for about a year. And when I say homeless, it wasn't like in the back of a bus down by the river, but it was, we didn't have a home. We stayed with some friends. We house set for a month or two. We traveled around. We prepared for whatever God had for us next. And He had blessed us before all this stuff happened. And so we had 4 vehicles across the country. And so we started to sell these vehicles to live. Y'all with me? So we sold the first one within a couple of months. We sold the second one and the third one and so forth. We got down to 1 car. And we were in Phoenix, staying at my parents' house, and it was time to sell a car. So we put an ad in the paper and then put the car up 3 or 4 houses up right on the main street, 7th Street there, and just hoping that something would happen. Well, Rick was 4, maybe 5, and he had not become a Christian yet, but he knew all about God. And of course, sometimes you get so desperate that you don't want to pray. You want to have your little kids pray because God wouldn't say no to a little child, you know. So pray, Rick, for God to sell the car. You know, that was what the prayer was. So Rick prays and all this. And just like our house that we're trying to sell our house right now, We don't pray for the sale. It's like, well, in your timing and for whoever buys the car. Y'all with me? So Rick prays this prayer. I mean, we had gotten home probably 15 or 20 minutes and the phone rang. And so I answered it. The guy started talking to me, came by, looked at it. He was from Flagstaff, and he was just down for the day. Literally, we had put it right out on the street. There it is. And he said, I'll take it. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to give you $100. And put this money down. I'll pick it. I'll take it and all this. And then he said, I've got some business in town, and then I'll pick it up on the way out. And it's done. Hallelujah. Drove the car back, you know, and took the for sale sign out. We came back in and we prayed again. Hallelujah. God's great. Yoo-hoo. We had a piece of cake and everything was wonderful. Later that afternoon, he calls. And he says, hey, I'm having difficulty with this car getting it home and all that. Would you want to drive it up to Flagstaff? I'll pay you a little extra to do that. Put you up in a hotel and all that and make sure you get back home if you'll drive it up. And it's like, are you kidding? We're living with my parents. Be glad to. We'll pay you. No, I didn't say that. Hallelujah. Woo! Probably 2 or 3 hours later. Do you guys understand how high I am off the ground? Okay. We need this money. God knows we need this money. We prayed for this money and we got it. Now we get a little 2-day vacation in Flagstaff. He called a couple of hours later. And he said, I'll talk to my wife. Now's not the best time. Oh. He said, but keep that $100. And I said, well, you better believe I am going to keep that $100. Do I need to describe how defeated I was at that moment? Just defeated. So I went back into the garage and I picked up that old for sale sign that just a few hours early I had put away with glee. Got it back out, put it on the windshield. Just going to drive it up the 4 or 5 houses up to 7th Street. I didn't ask God this time. It's like, I'm angry. Let's go. Can't believe that he did this to me. It was Rick. And Rick said, hey, Dad, God's already sold the car. This is just the wrong one. This is just the wrong guy. He's already sold the car. I wanted to teach my son how things work in the real world. Because they don't work like that. Oh, out of the mouth of babes. So we prayed a second time. We went and put the car up at 7th Street. And within the hour, someone dropped by. A mother, single mother, 2 kids. And she looked at the car, she loved it. And she said, it's too expensive. And she literally got her checkbook out. And she said, I have this amount to pay. And it was $100 less than the guy. And I said, someone has already paid that other $100. It's yours.
Amen.
There's more to the story. Because we moved to Alaska about a year later. We were up there probably 2 or 3 years and came home to see my parents and all that for Christmas or Thanksgiving. And we went to Metro Center, which is nearby the house and all that. And this was a very unique, special car. It was the only one made that's like it. And I won't go into details, it was just a special car. And as we pulled into the parking lot at Metro Center, I saw the car. It was it. There's not another one like it. The wheels, everything, it was it. I said, I wonder if she's in here. I don't even remember her name. And we went running in there, and we found her in Metro Center. And I said, how's the car? She said, not one thing. It's got 300,000 miles on it. Not one thing. I haven't even had to put brake shoes, brake pads on it. Not one thing. Sometimes we get all engaged with our circumstances and we say, Lord, do this for us, please. But God has a much better plan, but we have to trust Him. And by the way, we may not have sold the car, but if you're trusting Him, it's okay. Amen?
Amen.
That's my little guy right there, Rick. Mm-mm-mm. Love you, buddy. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the day. Thank you for your message. Thank you for Abraham's life, the faith that he had in you, the faith that would contradict the problem, the faith that would claim your promise that you will deliver us in your way and in your timing, but that you will deliver. Father, we love you. We trust you. We place our faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen.